Hello, Lindsay. Are you there, Lindsay?
I am Linda Fries, and this is Reverend Lindsay Babish from the Art of Living Well Radio. And the radio show today is Healthy, Easy, Green. And this is a brand new host, Linda Fries, and we welcome Linda to the Art of Living Well Network. And so delighted to have her on board. This is really fabulous because it really, really speaks to the whole idea of healthy living, the art of being well, wellness. The bottom line on that is nutrition. And Linda's an author, a television personality, and a nutrition and health coach. And she's studied for many years and been involved with and worked at with Hippocrates Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida, the famous Hippocrates Institute. And Linda, welcome to the Art of Living Well. This is your show. I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this and being my mentor and my coach to understand this whole new form of communication. I'm just very thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. I'm so glad you said yes.
How could I not? And you've been such an amazing help for me to get this going. And it's just an exciting thing for me to be able to have a new form of communication as well, because, as you know, I've done a lot of teaching. I do different classes. I teach healthy food preparation, mainly raw food and vegan food, but did do a lot of the vegetarian approaches for quite some time. What came up with Healthy Easy Green is just basically it's not just the food, but it's the entire environment. It's your life. It's your community. It's your home. And I like making it easy for people. And that's what people have always told me they appreciated when I am teaching or lecturing or whatever. And also in my television shows, it just looks so easy when you do it, Linda. And I say, yes, for it can be. Just do one little step at a time, one easy thing. And this is just one more thing. And one thing I'd like to do with this new radio show, Lindsay, and that's why I asked you to be join me for my first show, is to interview people like yourself who live a healthy lifestyle, but who have made it in a way that is easy as well. And it's just totally, it's something that you live every day in many different ways by doing small little gestures throughout your day to help your health, to help your family's health, to help the environment, to help the planet, to help the neighbors, to help your mind and your body and your stress level and a little bit of everything in your food. So it's quite a vast subject, and that's why I'm so excited to interview and to speak with people like you to help have you share your great tips on how to live easy and healthy and green.
Well, you really hit on the crux of the whole thing, which is easy. Mm-hmm. Because if it isn't easy, people feel like they just can't do it. Everybody's kind of topped out on what to do in their lives. And they're racing in five different directions, and they're driving and texting and doing this and doing that and doing this and next appointment and next call and next this and forgot to get this on the way home and where's my list. And so everybody's kind of very, very, very busy. We live in a very fast-paced world. And
we
I
do.
Remember years ago when they first started to talk about recycling, everyone was like, oh, I can't do that. That's too hard. I don't know. Now there isn't a community you don't go to where everybody has, you know, once or twice a week, their recycle bins outside. And
exactly.
We just do it because we found a way to incorporate it into our lives. And it's the same thing. Now, I'm really interested. I'm going to ask you, because I want the listeners today to hear about your journey. I know we're going to interview me too, but I want them to know how you came to be an expert in healthy, easy, green living. What was your journey like?
Well, my journey, oh my gosh, started actually when I was in high school, honestly a few decades ago. And the charge of feeding the family when I was about 14 fell on me when my mother was bedridden for a few months. And I went, yes, and I was living in California at the time, and I was kind of a young hippie. And I thought, oh, my gosh, vegetarian. I hear this is a cool thing. So I went to the bookstore and got a really good vegetarian cookbook, and I started making vegetarian meals for the family, and we all loved it. And that kind of got my interest started way back then. Then I fell on Victoris Kolvinskis's book, Survival in the 21st Century, and that blew me away because the cover was a total Peter Max drawing. I love the drawings. I love the, far-out thinking and concepts that he was advancing here. That led me to Ann Wigmore, who, of course, was the one who kind of got wheatgrass on the map after healing herself of cancer with the wheatgrass and a healthy diet. It's not just the wheatgrass, obviously, but she totally changed her lifestyle. She became the forerunner and, you know, the grandmother, the grandmom of all that is right now, the raw food movement with the sprouts and whatnot. And everybody thought she was quite kooky back up in Boston back then in those years, but she was actually an amazing leader and quite a visionary. So I loved her simple recipe books. I got into that even more. I kind of heard more about the Hippocrates Institute, which is in West Palm Beach, which was kind of, they moved down to Florida to get out of the Boston nasty weather. And I had this desire to go there, and the universe kind of conspired to make this happen. And about 20 years ago, I did have an opportunity to go to Hippocrates as a healthy person, thank God, and to be blessed to go and learn about it because I wanted to bring that back and teach that kind of food preparation and sprouting in an inn that I ran and owned. So I did that and fell in love with Hippocrates, oh my gosh, and became kind of really interested in sharing that message. But at the same time, Lindsay, I saw that people were having a hard time trying to get it, to do it, you know, to incorporate all that into their lives. And one of the things that I was able to do was to share that with people, but in an easy way. So I could break that down into, my gosh, don't try to see the whole picture of being perfectly this or perfectly that. Just what can you do one thing each week that'll be different? I mean, add something new to your life. Don't take it away. Because when we try to take something away, as you know, Lindsay, our body, our mind, our psyche, our ego, whatever's there, says, no, don't take away my steak or
right.
my cigarette or my sugar or my this or my whatever.
I'm not giving that up.
I can't. I will die. So... then that's okay. Don't right now, but add something new, add a new taste, add a new way of doing things, add a new type of juice or, you know, something that you're doing that's different, and your taste buds do change. Those are for people who have the luxury of not being ill, really, maybe just little aches and pains, but who have basically the time to start to make small changes in their lives with their families. Those who are ill, you know, and if they choose to go this route as either a complementary with the medical mainstream or as a standalone for starters, they got to get onto it full pin right away, 100%. But I was really, I realized one of my talents is, you know, we understand what our strong points are. I made it easy because I, for my own self, needed to make it easy because I'm not the most disciplined person, and I'm not the most precise and organized person. I'm an artist, so it's more like,
well, you could have fooled me. I'll tell you something. Well, your book, I will testify that you are an artist because your book and the food you serve, by the way, are really things of beauty. So I will tell you that everything that you do is beautiful. So, yes, I'll testify that you are an artist, but you can't tell me that you're not disciplined. So, and if you are undisciplined, you're hiding it really, really, really well. So I wouldn't necessarily judge
there.
You know,
it's more that it's the taste that have changed. It's what I prefer now because there's a difference between this is what I prefer. And so it's easy for me to eat or drink or do these things because it's what I prefer because I feel better. But however, if I had to take a discipline to say I can't never have this anymore, I cannot do this, and
that's tough.
Like if I had to lose a lot of weight, for example, and I had to be on a strict diet, that would be tough for me, you know. But
I see. So that kind of discipline. I understand.
That kind of discipline.
And so what you're really talking about is that I think for all of us, the changes that we want to see in our lives need to become lifestyle as opposed to I'm going to try this for a week.
Yeah.
So adding, it's really shifting our lifestyle more than anything else. And I think a lot of people come to shift in lifestyle for reasons that they're kind of driven to it, almost, I hesitate to use the word catastrophe, but sometimes it takes that. And I know that my journey to natural healing, natural medicine, kind of a rejection of allopathy in general and of what we call traditional American medicine, Western medicine, mine came as a result of a diagnosis that my son received when he was 15 months old. And they wanted to do some really, really tough stuff to him, the medical community. And I never felt it in my gut. Never felt that it was right. So I kept delaying. And then finally, I met a medical doctor who said, all these doctors who gave this diagnosis are all wrong. They're just wrong. It's just not true. So this is when I said to myself, okay, not just two opinions, maybe we need six opinions. And that's when I began to look outside of the strict medical community for alternatives to health and wellness for my family. My grandmother virtually controlled the food process in our home, and she was an old farm woman. We ate very simply, but we basically had the same thing to eat almost every week. You know, it was like a pattern. You know, Wednesday you had meatloaf, and, you know, Friday you had fish sticks. And Americans know about this, right, because you get into patterns. But it was always good, healthy food. It was never over-processed. It was always fresh. And my grandmother had a third-grade education. But when we were sick, she put us to bed and let us sweat. We didn't go to the doctor's office. We didn't get antibiotics. So I think that these life things is when we go back later on and we say, wait a minute, I got well from scarlet fever without having antibiotics. Mm-hmm. You know, how did that happen? And so the journey becomes widened. And I know that you've broken out from your nutritional field into many other areas that both of us share, like, for instance, light therapies. Because as you engage in the field and as you said, the community, and community is very important, then you begin to learn different things that support the nutrition and support the health and support the lifestyle, and it becomes very exciting.
It does. It does. And one thing that I really love about, you know, being with you just as a dear friend, but also learning from you and watching what you're fascinated with and what you like to share with your community, is all of the energy healing. It's not just in a physical sense, okay, we're going to take. It's the more of the subtle, the invisible energies that are being worked on, like, for example, the light therapy, like infrared therapies, and like even the vibrational strengths of essential oils, because as we know, essential oils each have their own vibrational level, and consuming them either in drops in our water or in capsules or on the skin or in our diffusers that are diffusing this beautiful aroma in our homes, the vibration of each essential oil will then raise our own personal vibration to a different degree and helps with the entire immune system of the entire body. That's one more tool to help our body keep a higher vibration when we're continually being pulled down because of our phones and our computers and our pollution and our business and our stress and whatnot. And you really have a lot in your tool chest about that. Tell us about, just for starting out, about, for example, easy things when you're working with your essential oils. For example, let's start with what everybody needs at a medicine chest. What would you suggest?
Ah, well, that is so easy because I'm often asked by people, you know, if you could only have one oil or two oils, what would they be? And what I've come to realize over the years is that, and I'm really a scientist. I'm really all about, I was originally very, very interested in biology. So I'm all about the biology, but my interest in biology has evolved to understand that everything in our body, every cell is just a little packet of light. So it's all energy. And
right. So
everything we do in life, everything that surrounds us, everything we put in on our body, everything we send out of our body, everything and everyone we exchange with changes our vibration. So it's continuously changing. So I would say, I think I discovered the essential oils right around the time when I was sinking very deeply into not perimenopause. I was solidly in menopause, and I was not sleeping well. And this happens to a lot of women, a lot of people in general, people who can't shut the brain off. And
right.
So one of the first oils I fell in love with was lavender. And, you know, I have women, have people saying to me every day, oh, yeah, I went over to the Bed and Bath and Body Shop, and I got a bottle of lavender spray. You know, and it was $4, you know, and I have to explain to them that I know now that that's not really lavender, but that's okay. You know, it smells good. It's a start. And and at least, you know, that people are intuitively drawn to that which they need and want and their body requires, essentially. So lavender is certainly one. And what lavender does, what I love about lavender is it's an adaptogen.
Right.
Which means it does what you need, not what it wants to do. So if it's the middle of the afternoon and I'm just feeling a little jittery, or I'm like, I know that I've still got three more appointments today, and then I'm going to have to go somewhere tonight or prepare a dinner or something, but I certainly don't want to go to sleep. People say, well, why would you use lavender? Well, lavender will calm me without putting me to sleep.
Right.
But at night, when I get into bed and I want to go to sleep, boy, I put a drop of lavender in my hands, and I do my little three circles clockwise and with the palms of my hands, just to open up the molecules and invite them to, you know, open up. And then I just cup my hands over my face, and I take a couple of really deep breaths. And 9 times out of 10... I don't remember taking my hands away from my face.
That was quick.
It's that fast. I mean, and, you know, it really, because and the interesting thing is it works, too, for all levels of sleep problems, because the olfactory nerve, which is from the nose to the brain, goes to the amygdala, which is the old brain in the center of your brain, which is the trauma center. That's where trauma is stored. So many of us, I mean, you know, there's stupid stuff that comes up. I cut the finger off one of my little baby dolls when I was 4 years old playing with a pair of scissors. And, you know, every once in a while that stupid thing will come up and I'll go like, I can't believe I'm still feeling guilty about that.
No,
so, you know,
goodness.
We all have emotional trauma, so it works on the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual level. So definitely lavender.
That's awesome.
And then there's sacred frankincense, or frankincense or sacred frankincense, either one. It is, how can I even describe it? It is a biblical oil. It's certainly described throughout the Bible as being a very, very special oil in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was obviously one of the gifts that was given to the baby Jesus. Here we are we're actually recording this show on Easter. So, you know, it's a spiritual oil, but it also has incredible properties inside the body, and it may in fact, and this is something that, again, because I'm not a doctor and you're not a doctor, we can't be telling people this absolutely does this, but there are studies ongoing right now at University of Oklahoma and many other places, Stanford, and also in Europe, in Switzerland, and in Denmark, that is they're showing that frankincense has an impact on cancer cell death. And so they're showing it actually in laboratories, but yes, this does kill cancer cells. And there's some theoretical thinking out there, some hypotheses that it may in fact be an enzyme for cancer. So many of us who work with cancer patients a lot and want to make sure that we're taking care of our own bodies in the process tend to use a lot of frankincense. And we just, I mainly put it on my, I actually massage it into my breasts, lavender and frankincense every day.
Okay, with some oil. You do have a base of oil, though, right?
Yeah, sometimes I use the base. If I'm not, I'll usually use coconut oil. Cause for
but
me,
can
that's
it go
a very,
straight on the skin? Because I know some oils you have to dilute.
No, it can
but
go straight on the skin.
Straight on
the skin, yeah.
And also,
they're very gentle oils.
Okay, something easy as well is not only diffusing it in a very quality diffuser, but it's also, we can put a few drops in our water bottle, can't we? In a glass water bottle, correct?
Yes. Well, you know, when I make, when I drink oils, I'll generally put a drop or two of either lemon or peppermint in my water.
Okay.
I usually don't do frankincense in my water, but for instance, in Oman, where sacred frankincense is in fact grown and the resin is distilled there, they take the resin every night. First of all, they burn the resin in their homes to keep pests like bed bugs, etc., down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also put a little piece of resin in a glass of water by their bedside that purifies the water. When they get up in the morning, they drink it. The resin in Oman is also used as a chewing gum because it is a chewy resin. And
okay.
they have no tooth decay as a result. So there's lots of ways that you can do it. But usually when I'm drinking oils in my water, I will use lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And lemon is an alkalizer. So for people who have really bad acid stomachs, I usually say to them, why don't you try a drop of lemon in 10 ounces of water and just sip that through the day, because it is alkalizing. So what you really don't want to do is what the traditional method, the allopathic method says, is turn off the acid so that you don't have it in
that's
your stomach.
Counter against all logic.
But then
though,
you don't have acid to digest your food, so then you're creating a vicious cycle.
Exactly.
So,
and you do like the lemon. You like the citrus. And I heard that the citrus oils have the limonene in it. So that's that also is
limonene,
been shown.
Absolutely.
And
if you're cooking fish in your house, if you've got fish or anything stinky in your house that you've been cutting up onions or whatever it is that creates a big stink in your house that you don't like, I just diffuse a little bit of lemon and it just absorbs the odors immediately. So it's a really good, and I also will, if I have something in my refrigerator that is leaving its smelly information after it's gone out of the refrigerator, I'll just put a couple of drops of lemon on a cotton ball and stick it in the fridge for a couple of hours. Yeah. And also, because lemon is antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal, those are properties of lemon oil, that when I wash my vegetables and fruits, I have a big stainless steel bowl, fill it up with water, put two drops of lemon in, and I will wash, I don't care, strawberries, grapes, lettuce, and anything I'm going to be, carrots, it doesn't matter. Everything goes in the lemon water because that, it kills E. coli. This is, I can say that without being a doctor because it's documented. You can go to PubMed and do lemon oil and E. coli, and it'll come up and says, yes, it kills E. coli and many other things. So it's a really good, and so you're not in the supermarket then buying some synthetic vegetable spray to clean your vegetables,
Beautiful.
And so that's a very, very good, process to use.
And I love the smell of the tangerines and the mandarin smells. Oh, that's so good in the house. And it also helps with the brain function when we're studying, I believe, right? It doesn't it? If you're doing that while you're studying or something, it helps clarify our minds to the...
Yeah, lemon does that. And the best at that is, in my research anyway, is peppermint. Okay. And the peppermint, you know, and listen, you know all those little red and white candies that are all over the place that people are always in the middle of the play when you're trying to hear the play or the movie and there's somebody sitting next to you trying to open up one of those little candies with those crackly rippers? You know, wrappers?
Oh, yes.
those, right? They're everywhere, you know. Everywhere you go to doctor's offices, it doesn't matter where you go, there they are. And that's peppermint. And the reason why we love peppermint so much is it's a digestive. It's really good for the tummy, you know. And in addition to being a digestive, it really does, as you said, if you smell it, it oxygenates the brain. And it increases brain oxygenation by 26%.
Okay.
And I'm curious, Linda, have you instituted any of the oils into your food preparation, the nutritional thing? Have you done that yet?
I have done that with some of my chocolates, the recipes, because I have a really good recipe that has chocolate or carob. And this is actually in my recipe book that you can find on my website, healthyeasygreen.com. But this recipe is made with coconut oil and coconut butter and maple syrup and vanilla. And if I want a pepperminty taste, I'll put a few drops of peppermint into my mixture. Oh, there's also raw cacao in there. I also put dehydrated buckwheat, sprouted buckwheat dehydrated in that, and it makes crunchies, and it's really fun, you know, very yummy. And I've done that, but one thing that I really love to do as well, not only in food, is that I love making concoctions and inventions that I use as facial scrubs or exfoliants or creams. So, and this is all from my kitchen as well. And I will grind up some flax seeds, and then I'll put that in a bowl, ground flax seeds, not too ground. You want them still kind of sandy, you know, texture. And then I will drizzle on a tiny bit of hemp oil or almond oil or avocado oil, some very good oil. And then I'll put in a few drops of either lavender or any of the orange oils, like tangerine, mandarin, not really lemon so much, but the other ones, like the sea orange, as I love. And then I shake all that up, and then when I'm in the shower, I just put about a tablespoon of that mixture in my hand and scrub my face with it.
Ooh.
So my face is getting exfoliated, but at the same time, it's getting the oils of the flaxseed, it's getting the oil from the hemp, and it's getting that delicious smell from the essential oils that I've chosen. So I love to do that. I use that a lot in that sense. And sometimes when I'm just using, you know, coconut oil as a body lotion or cream, I will put a few drops of essential oils in there as well just to make it nice. Because it just uplifts us, doesn't it, the smells of those oils.
Absolutely. It operates on all levels, mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
Which is really what it's all about.
Yeah, it does. And part of living healthy and easy and green is your environment, obviously, but it's also beautifying your environment. It's when we have natural fabrics and natural items around us, things from the forest, things from the ocean, things from our garden, beautiful pictures, family, love, things on the walls, and the way I store my foods on my shelves. It's important to have something pretty there. It's trying to eliminate as much as we can plastic containers so that we have beautiful glass that doesn't emit any polycarbons or whatnot or estrogen stimulators or whatnot. And we can see our delicious food. We can see our grains and our nuts and our seeds and everything. I think that's part of the decoration of a kitchen, is to also inspire us what we're going to be eating and to remind us, oh, I've got that grain up there. Let's do that tonight. Or when it's all stored away in the cupboard, we don't always see it. You know, our kitchen sometimes looks so sterile because everything is so put away. My kitchen is kind of like a laboratory, so I've got things all over. My kitchen is clean. It's just not always tidy, but it's because it's just pretty. So I love having nice utensils. I love having nice bowls to mix all my things in, but also to have these aromas and to have this in the background with good music. It's just a very uplifting thing. And I was reading one time, Lindsay, a chart, and I don't know, maybe you gave it to me years ago, but it showed the different hertz level, meaning H-E-R-T-Z, which are the megahertz, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the level that our human body gives off is about 55 or 65, I think, megahertz, whereas the essential oils, they all have their own particular hertz, depending on the flower or the leaf that we're using. And I think the highest one is rose oil, right, 320. So if our body is at the 55 or 65 level and we're diffusing pure, real pure rose oil, or having it on our skin or in our cream or something, that's just going to raise our vibrational level and help us on all levels too. I think frankincense is up there too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's up over 300. So, the frequency, and you know, getting into frequency with people is that's three programs in and of itself. That's a major topic. But there are things that everything in our lives creates frequency. When food is dead, the frequency is zero.
Exactly.
Canned food, no frequency. A live carrot, lots of frequency.
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is so important of the exchange, because there's a principle in physics called entrainment. And it's a very simple principle. It says that if there are two frequencies in juxtaposition to one another, close to one another, what's going to happen is the lower frequency is always, always going to move toward the higher frequency. So and to put this in really simple terms, when you're around somebody, or you're eating a meal, or you're in a place, a beautiful kitchen, or a beautiful whatever, living room, whatever, you have a beautiful garment on you that feels right on your body, your frequency is being raised. So you always know, you get around some people and you just know like, oh, they're sucking energy out of me. We all say it. We all know it, but we don't necessarily know what that means. And that's all frequency. So,
and we're attracted to people who glow. When we see someone who says, oh, that person just has a glow about them.
Exactly.
Or they just shine. It's there. It's true. We're just not seeing it, but it's actually that person does have a higher whatever they're doing at that moment, is because we're not always on the same even keel all throughout our lives, because we got
well,
the
your,
highs and lows.
Your book glows, Linda, and your book is such a beautiful work. It because what I love about your book is that it not only does it talk about healthy, easy, green, it is. That's what it is. It's just so simple and so beautiful that you don't have to spend 8 days reading it. You can just go like one page at a time and learn something and see something and find something that can be incorporated into life, a new recipe, your whole idea of just doing sprouts on a windowsill. so simple, because most people don't have lots of space where they can, be doing racks of sprouting, and they think that they're going to have to build a farm to do that. It's just not the case. So,
no, you can have a little corner of your counter space.
Yeah, where can people get your book? Because I think it's important for you to let everybody know that over and over and over again, because really worthy to have.
Yeah, that's on my website, Lindsay, at healthyeasygreen.com. And also, and I always forget this, but I also have a video. It's about an hour-long video, and it's an educational video. It's entertaining and fun, and I produced this video with Sean Herbert from Got Sprouts here in just north of West Palm Beach, who's a dear friend as well. He and his wife, Jody, who have just expanded this insane business called Got Sprouts. But we've done this video together, and it takes you through, what is a sprout, the energy behind it, how to grow in jars and sprout bags and on soil. That's in the video, so you've got the visual. Also in my book, Simply Sprouts, it's called, because it is a simply sprouting book. You've got the sprouting instructions, real simple. I put it down to simple. Lindsay, I've read books on sprouting that are about 150 pages, black and white text, with a few cartoons here and there, and I'm going, what? This is going to turn people off. They're going to be so confused with this, and it's too much, and they're going to say, I can't do this. In my book, I have just a few pages on sprouting techniques for the three different types that I've found over the years are the best, because I can gadgets there are out there for growing sprouts. And these are the basics that I've always come back to. So I've got pictures, step one, step two, step three with photos. Everything's got a picture in my book, which I love because I think we need pictures. Same thing for the other ones. And a friend or someone who had purchased the book just emailed me. And obviously, if you get the book and you have a question, whether it be a recipe or a sprouting technique, it's not growing, it's molding, it's whatever, email me and I'll get right back to you. She asked me, where do I find soil? She was up in Canada. And I said, make it easy. Just get a few bags of soil, get a Rubbermaid bin, throw them in there, add a little peat moss, and don't get too obsessed by having the perfect soil. It's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Seeds are programmed to grow. That's what they do. That's their job, is to grow. So if you get your seeds, soak them, put them on our soil or in your jar or in your bag, they're just going to do their thing. You just need to keep an eye on them, and that's the deal. But at healthyeasygreen.com, you can get that recipe book and the video. So that makes it easy for everybody. And it's a fun combo, and I can ship that off anywhere that anybody wants. So the book is doing really, really well. I'm quite pleased. We're going into our third printing, which I'm thrilled with.
Excellent.
And I've got another children's book that's on the way in, Lindsay, that I'm really excited. I'm, you know, just anxious to get it to the printer as well. But this
is that about children and eating? Is it to help them make good choices?
Yeah, exactly. What it's called is Eat Your Colors.
Good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get that to my grandchildren.
I know. You've got some little ones, too. And it's basically all my kids, starting out with my youngest child, starts out with him. And it covers all my children and my three grandchildren now, and how to eat, what kind of color, you know, eat your colors. Your colors are going to give you the energy, and if it's fresh foods, and it's always a question that goes back to the children. How many colors did you eat today? And
mm-hmm.
what colors did you put in your smoothie? And also, what colors did you put in your juice? Oh, I love ruby red juice, and that's got apples and beets in it. And, you know, so colors, and it's also geared towards parents. So the book is also addressed towards parents and grandparents to help them engage the child with some questions. Okay. How many colors did you eat today? What color is this going to be good for, and why do you like this color? And at the grocery store, going down the aisle, instead of the child asking for a truck or a this or what, a
box. Give me that box of sugar cereal.
Yeah, cereal, yeah. Now here, if we're in the vegetable aisle,
right.
Are these real colors or are these false colors?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a real color.
If you have two of them, you go, you're yellow today and you're red.
Yeah, that's what I get too. Yeah,
and mommy will be green, right?
Right. And then if you're bringing them through, you know, if they're going through the aisle with the boxes and the bags, okay, is that a real color? Is that real food? What's real food? Is the food in the veggie section real, or is it in the box, is it real? So to get them to understand at that young age what the difference is and the importance of eating colors, to have different varieties and to make sure that it's a real food as opposed to a food in a box that's made by somebody else other than our creator, then let them know about it. You know, when my kids were little, we called that God food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it God food or is it a box, you know? So they they got that. I mean, put it down in simple terms for them. So that's coming up. I'm real excited about that because we're starting more to this
that
year.
That is exciting. And as we said, you are an artist, so I know it's going to be wonderfully illustrated too. So that's very exciting. I can't wait to get that for my grandkids for the children of friends. So,
mm-hmm.
And when is that coming out?
Well, as soon as I can get it to the printer, actually.
Okay.
It's illustrated, it's done. I just need to get it to the printer. So it's kind of a question of funds right now, but once we can get it to the printer, I have one quick change to make to it because I did have another grandchild. I want to make sure she gets in there. So I'll be adding,
Nobody gets left out, right?
That would be sad. By the time it gets done, she's going to be old enough to be able to flip through the pages with mommy. So I'd like to get that done with her too. So that'll be really fun. But it's kind of bringing me to now go into schools more. I'm having an exciting event in Trinidad that's coming up, and I'm giving some secondary school students a recipe challenge. So that'll be fun as well. So
I didn't. You went by that much too fast. What's happening in Trinidad?
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes, I am going to Trinidad. I got invited to go to Trinidad. That'll be April 24th, 25th, and 26th of 2015, right now, coming up. And Brian Clement of the Hippocrates Institute will be going down there to give some conferences, and I'll also be giving some food classes as well. But one of the things that I've kind of thrown out there, and really the professors and the presidents of the university down there of Trinidad and Tobago really love the idea, but I wanted to challenge the secondary students who will be attending a recipe challenge for them to go, because one of the reasons that we got invited to go down to Trinidad is because the fellow from Trinidad, who I knew up in Toronto, Canada, feels that his island and his people are really eating really very poorly, and he wanted to bring as much more information to them as possible so they can start making better choices, not only in their own personal lives, but government-wise. I mean, there's not a lot of organic foods available and things like this.
So, but apparently they've lost, I mean, all of those cultures, all island cultures and more basic cultures before pre-industrialized cultures, let's say, They ate very naturally and obviously very good food. And what has happened as we've enculturated them into Western capitalist society, we ship all the crap into them, and fill the stores with it, and then the children forget how the grandparents used to eat.
Yeah.
And it's really important that they get back to that.
Yeah, and I want to challenge them with their smartphones. Okay, show me, how did you develop this? Okay, show me your picture of yourself in the market. Make it fun. I want to see the colors where you went to the market. What did you buy? What did you get? What did you make? What's the final recipe look like? And send it to this particular address. If it works in Trinidad, if we see we get a good result. I mean, even then, the schools can make recipe books out of these afterwards.
Wonderful. That's really great.
That'll be fun, because I heard that the Kentucky Fried Chicken, now I don't know if this is true, just someone from Trinidad told me this, that the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Trinidad is the highest grossing Kentucky Fried Chicken per capita in the world.
It is in many places in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not even Kentucky Fried Chicken, by the way. It's KFC. They're not allowed to call it chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had to change their name many years ago because it's chicken facsimile of sorts, whatever it is. Well, Linda, I know, you know, for your first show, I think you've really done very well. The Art of Living Well Network is so pleased to have this incredible show on healthy, easy, green, and with such a wonderful wealth of knowledge and an exuberant, perfect example of you are what you teach and what you preach.
Thank
and
you.
That to us is that authenticity is so important.
Thank you. And I'm so happy to be with this family because there are so many wonderful speakers and hosts on this network here that I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, and Charlotte and I started it probably, I think it's 5 years ago now. I can't believe it that that's so long ago. But, and we're both, of course, now taking sabbaticals, but always kind of on the verge of coming back. But I'm so happy to be here today to introduce you to the Art of Living Well listeners. And you're going to be on what time every week?
Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. So if you wake up in the morning on the West Coast at 9 a.m., go ahead and tune in and listen. And then also you can listen on the East Coast at noon every Monday. And what you want to do is you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Art of Living Well. Or you can actually call in and listen, and the number to do that is, and I should know this number, I'm going to tell you.
I'll need to know this number, too.
We do need to know this number. See, listen, I'm not logged in, so I can't even give it to you.
Okay, let me see.
We're going to do this now. So meanwhile, tell everybody what you're what's going to be coming up in the shows.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks, Lindsay. Yes. Oh, I have so many amazing people in my life and in my community of friends that have so much to share. So it will be, you know, the whole idea of healthy, easy, green, as I said at the beginning, was it's the life, it's your environment, it's your home, it's the beauty, it's the your vibrations, it's your community, and not only what you, the nutrition and the nourishment that you put in your mouth, but also in your brain and in your mind and in your heart. I mean, no matter what it is, whether it be our food or our thoughts or our reading material or our music, garbage in, garbage out, right? So if you're putting in fine things made with love and shared in the same manner, it's just going to help us in every manner. And we all need to help. Our poor planet.
Okay, so here,
you got it? Okay.
Here's broadcast discipline for you. The call-in number is 805-292-0349. And we're out of time. You're out of time.
Oh, gosh.
See, this is how it goes. We didn't know how. You said, how are we going to fill up all this time? And see, it just disappears, doesn't it?
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. Looking forward to hearing next week's show.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to producing it. Thank you so much.
Great.
Bye-bye now, everybody.